Our speaker this morning is Dr. Vern Poitras. He's professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. Vern has served on the faculty there since 1976, and I had the privilege of having him as one of my professors when I was a student at Westminster. We've been greatly blessed over the years from your teaching, Vern. Both he and his wife, Diane, have very generously used of their teaching gifts in our church over the years. And we thank you for your love for the Lord, your passion for God's Word. And Vern, we welcome you this morning to share God's Word with us. And may the Lord be with you as you do that.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. It's right after the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." May the Lord use his word, apply it to our hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we do ask that your own word, your own speech would be powerful to address us today, and that we would see our Lord Jesus Christ for who he is and respond as we ought to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine that you are a boy, 8 years old. You come home from school and you run up to your mommy and you say, "They don't want me." You're an outcast. And the leper in this story is an outcast. The world can be cruel. And that boy is experiencing at a young age, and it's all the more painful to think of the pain that comes to somebody. He's experienced at a young age broken relationships. And people who are pushing him away. Why is the world this way? Why are people so mean? And then you can imagine yourself not as that boy, but a parent years later. And one of the challenges about being a parent is you have these memories still. And you may remember, as your own boy or girl comes into your arms, you may remember things going through your mind from your own childhood and how painful it was. What can you say? Well, you try, right? And you say, "I love you. Your family loves you." And you can say, even maybe those boys you wanted to be with, maybe they're a team, maybe they're just a group of friends. If they rejected you, maybe they're not as cool as you thought they were, you know. A parent struggles, though, with that kind of thing. But what if it's not just a one-time rejection like that? But what if you are one of a minority? Maybe you're the only black person among a group at school that's all white. Or maybe you're the only Indian. You're a minority, and you may experience that kind of exclusion. And sometimes children can be just as cruel. I mean, it's a tragic thing, right? But what if that's the case? Or what if you, as a child, had some kind of disability, or you had a big scar, you had a hair lip, you had some conspicuous feature that made people withdraw, and they felt you were repulsive. That would be awful. Now, praise the Lord, we have operations in this country, at least, that can deal with some of those things. But you think about the issue of alienation between people, and it's a real serious problem. Or what if you had a contagious disease? Now, that would keep people away from you even more effectively in some ways, because they know they have to, although you could say, well, once this is over, then things will be back to normal. But what if there were no way of getting rid of that disease? And the situation with the leper is kind of that way. One of the clues to this story, I believe, is actually at the end, in verse 4. If you take a look at it, after the man is healed, Jesus says to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." That seems peculiar, though there are other instances where Jesus does this. Why does he do that? He says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." Now, at that point, Jesus is directing people back to the Old Testament, to the first five books, the books of Moses. But there is in those books a particular discussion of leprosy. It's mainly in Leviticus 13 and 14. Now, we're not going to spend the whole time looking at Leviticus 13 and 14. But if you studied it, you would find that the disease that's called leprosy, it doesn't just refer to what we think of leprosy. It's called Hansen's disease is the technical term for it. And people lose the feeling in their limbs, and then they injure themselves, and it's a terrible kind of thing. But it's not just that. It's other diseases of the skin, some of which would have been contagious. So, for one thing, God is protecting the people from contagion by teaching them how to isolate the person who's contagious. But I believe that is not the main purpose, actually, even though it's nice. It's an extra benefit that God gave them. But God is wanting to teach them something. If you take a look at Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, it says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and she shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." That is, outside the community. And as I say, that's partly protection against contagion. But it's also, he's living as an outcast. Now, the word unclean doesn't mean what you and I would think, you know, from thinking, well, you need a bath, right? But this is a technical word for something that made a person have to live apart, because he could spread the uncleanness. And also, it disqualified you from approaching the presence of God. At this time, God had the people build a special tent that symbolized his presence. It was called the tabernacle. And the priests could go in, the common people could not go inside, but they could approach it at least. A leper couldn't even get near because he was unclean. He was not qualified. Now, this is a picture of the fact that this world is out of order. The fact that we have an 8-year-old boy who comes home and says, "They don't want me." That's one symptom among many, many symptoms that this world is not what it ought to be. And that human nature is not what it ought to be. And the picture in Leviticus is a picture of the brokenness of human nature that separates one person from another, But that also means that we have diseases that eat into our own bodies. And we're separated also from God, and that is the worst separation of all. Why are we separated from God? Because we have sin. Sin is like a disease, except you're responsible for it. You know, many diseases you get, you couldn't have helped it. But sin is something that is inside, it's in the heart, not simply on the skin. But the skin can be a good pictorial representation of the power and the ugliness of sin. It's repulsive. It's repulsive above all to God himself, who is holy. And it's saying, when you have sin in you, and you do, and I do, when you have sin in you, you are disqualified from the presence of God. And you are contagious because you're a bad influence and you hurt other people with your sin. And the sin is eating into your own person. So imagine, you know, this is all represented, of course, by something that's spreading on a skin. But imagine you have a skin disease that's spreading and you can see it. I mean, this must be a pretty horrible experience. You can see it spreading from day to day. And that you don't have the kind of medicine that could stop it. So there's no way that you can do anything about it. And it's spreading day by day, and it's getting worse. And maybe it's accompanied by an itch, right? So that you have a hard time going to sleep at night because you're uncomfortable and you're itchy and you want to scratch, and that just makes it bloody. And it's awful. And as it spreads, it's going to get worse. There's going to be more places that are itching. Or if it's Hansen's disease, it's what our modern leprosy, you lose the feeling. You lose the sensitivity of your touch. And that's kind of a picture, isn't it? You lose the sensitivity to God. You lose the sensitivity to other people. You lose the sensitivity to self. And so you're going to damage yourself by your own sin. Sin is like a cancer. It's eating inside, not simply outside on the skin. It's killing you, spiritually speaking. Now, one of the reasons why God did these things in the Old Testament was to give you and me, and to give the people back there, to give you a picture of the seriousness of sin. And it's all the more important that we have this picture because sin conceals itself, right? And there's some kinds of diseases where you can sort of fool yourself and say, well, nothing's wrong. Right? But many kinds of diseases, you can't fool yourself permanently. But sin, part of the destructive character of it is that it tempts you to fool yourself. But what it's saying, what this picture is saying, is that sin damages you, and it damages your relation to other people. And it damages, above all, your relationship to God himself. And what are you going to do about it? It's like one of these diseases. The people had no power to cure themselves. And friends, this disease is terminal. Let me give you another verse. This one comes, keep your finger in Matthew, but this one comes from Revelation. Revelation 21. Now this is looking forward to the wrapping up of the entire universe and the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation 21:27, the new heaven and the new earth is going to cleanse all these things out. But look at verse 27. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing unclean. Is that talking about physical uncleanness, right? Having some dirt on you? Of course not. It's talking about what is detestable. It's talking about sin, and it's using the language of uncleanness to give you a final picture of that. Now, friends, the passage that we just read in Matthew 8 says there is a solution, that there is someone who can cleanse not only the inside, the outside of a skin disease, but the inside. It can cleanse the soul, can get right down into the heart. So look at the story. Behold, a leper came to him. Came to who? Came to Jesus. And knelt before him. He humbles himself. He's saying, I can't do anything myself. And this is true of us. He knelt before him saying, Lord, it's already a term of respect. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He believed, and he was right, it turns out. But he believed, first of all, that Jesus actually had the power to make him clean. Now, there was nobody among the physicians that could do anything. So he recognized in Jesus there was a supernatural power. There's a power from God himself. And that power is the only thing that could help him. And that's true of you, and that's true of me. And then he says, if you will, it's all up to Jesus. He's got to be willing. He's got to say yes. That's the crucial thing in the mind of this leper. And that should be the crucial thing in your mind as well. If you will. Is Jesus willing? Well, look at the next verse. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. Now, Jesus' words are words of authority and power. That's confirmed in the Sermon on the Mount, actually, because the people said, were pressed at his teaching and said, he doesn't talk like one of the scribes. He talks as one who has authority. His words have authority. They have authority as a teacher, but here, it's not simply that. It's authority like the authority of God himself, to say something and it happens. So let there be light and there's light. Be clean and a man is clean. There's two aspects to this, and these both have a reference to you and me as well. One is that the formal pronouncement, you are clean, you are now qualified to enter into fellowship with God and to enter into fellowship with your fellow people who had to stay away from you. You are officially qualified because there's a pronouncement from Jesus himself authoritatively saying you are clean. You are clean from your sin, you see, would be the application, right? And the second thing is that the leper is changed. It's not simply there's a pronouncement, but he's healed. He doesn't have the disease anymore. The disease of sin is in you, and Jesus comes to heal you of that disease. He's the great physician. Those who are well, he says, have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right? You have to understand your need. That leper understood his need. Do you understand your need? I'm speaking to you. I know many of your faces here. I know that many of you don't understand your need. But I'm reminding you, right? And for those of you for which this may be the first time to think about it, I'm saying to you, do you understand whether you are healthy physically or sick physically? You have a deeper need. And that is the need to be cleansed from sin. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Now you understand, against the background of the Old Testament law, that was not supposed to be done by ordinary people. If you touch somebody who is unclean, you become unclean. You become disqualified from entering into the presence of God. You have to be cleansed yourself. Well, did that happen to Jesus? No, it didn't. Instead of the uncleanness going from the man to Jesus, the cleanness, the holiness goes from Jesus to the man. I can imagine if some of the disciples were there seeing that, because they were Jews. They knew the law. To this point, you don't get near even somebody with leprosy. That's part of our law. So Jesus does it. That's the reaction. What are you doing? Jesus made a point because he's reaching out in compassion. He's saying, I love you enough to identify with your circumstances and the suffering and the alienation and the outcast. Now, I've argued that Jesus didn't become literally unclean in that process. But I also want you to understand that that touch is an identification which points forward to the crucifixion of Christ. When Christ was on the cross, he took human sins on himself. He was himself pure and clean from sin. He was righteous. He was perfect before God his Father. And he contaminated himself deliberately. He touched sin and uncleanness, not simply in a physical sense, but he took it on himself. And he died under the burden and penalty of those sins of you and me that he took to himself. This, friends, I believe, this passage is a depiction beforehand of what Jesus had to go through. And he did it willingly. He stretched out his hand. He took the sin on himself in order that what? In order that those belonging to him, those whom he touches, would become clean from sin. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Praise the Lord. Now, the healing that Jesus brings comes in two parts. One now. You can receive forgiveness through him because he's died and been raised. And one later, when he comes again, not only will you be made perfect if you belong to him, you will be made perfect, but your body itself will be healed, transformed, be a resurrection body that is no longer subject to sin or death or disease. So the healing of the leper, even at a physical level, has a promise for you and me that disease and death in this world are only temporary. You can escape this whole world and all of its problems when Christ comes again. For now, he may, from time to time, heal people physically, but that's temporary. They'll still die, right? But his main healing is spiritual. Now, friends, leprosy was a terrible disease in its own time. But I want you seriously to think about your spiritual disease, and it's mine too, right? It's everybody's. And to say this spiritual disease is inside and it's worse than leprosy. It's as if you found that you had cancer and the cancer was right by the brainstem or some vital area. And the doctors looked and they did the study and so on, and they came to you out in the waiting room and they said, "We've got terrible news because this cancer is right up against the brainstem. We cannot operate without killing you or paralyzing you. We have nothing we can do." Now, at that stage, there's nobody but God. And sin is that way. There's nobody to get inside. You see, because sin is worse than the brainstem, right? It's as deep as you can go. And there's nobody to get inside that way except God himself. Now, Jesus came, God in the flesh. He's the one, along with the Father, who created the universe, who created mankind. He's the one who can get in and fix permanently what nobody else can do. This is so glorious a message. We need to be hearing it and applying it to ourselves, as it were, every day. Jesus can heal you. Heal you beyond what you can do. You know, people say, "Well, I'll turn over a new leaf, right? I'll do better tomorrow." Well, hopefully you will. So what? Right? If that's all, right? You still haven't gotten to the root of it. Jesus, who says, "I'm the physician of souls," he does heal the body. Praise the Lord. He will give us resurrection bodies. But the greatest work of all is when he touches you inside. Now, friends, Jesus was raised from the dead. This is not a fairy story. This is reality. 500 people at one time saw him after he was raised from the dead. He is alive still. He is reigning in heaven. He's just as available now as he was to that leper. In fact, in a sense, more available, because in those days he could only be in one place. Right? He was in Palestine. What about all the lepers in Europe? They didn't have any help. Now Jesus is alive at the right hand of the Father. And what's your response? Do you believe that he is able to heal your sin? If you don't, then read the Bible until the Lord gives you the faith. You need to come to grips with the fact he is able to do this, and he's the only one, because he is God himself now, come in the flesh. Is he able? Is he willing? This story says to you, he is willing. Ask him. Ask him. And this is true whether it's your first time, whether you have never come to him before, or whether you're struggling day by day with sins that are still left. Because when he heals you, there's a fundamental change, but sin is still left in the remnants, right? The rest of the disease still is being cleaned out. So day by day, you come to him and saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And what does he say? It's right there. He's still saying it. I will be clean. And he touches you by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God, you see, doing what no one else can do. And at the last day, that beginning which he's made in you now will be perfected. You will be totally free from sin. And your body will be totally free from the effects and ravages of sin that we see around us. Let us pray. Lord, we bless you. You have given us the remedy in Christ himself. We rejoice in that. And we pray for ourselves and for everyone present, and for even our friends and neighbors who don't know you yet, that they would come to be healed and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Thank you that you have said, I will be clean. Amen.